Would you join me as we read together? You may be seated from the book of Exodus, chapter 2. You will remember the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those five books called the Pentateuch. Those are the law of Moses. Moses is the one that penned these words. As Diane was singing that song a few moments ago, I could not help but think that probably every female in this room today was thinking about the words of that song, thinking about more moments you wish you would have spent with your mom, maybe more time that you would have given her, more kind words you would have expressed, maybe more hugs, maybe more kisses, and maybe just some thoughts that were well-deserving to her, but time slipped away as it always does. This morning, as we think about Mother's Day, I want us to read from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, he was a beautiful child. She hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." This morning, as we honor mothers all across this world, moms, it's important for you to understand that your job is not to plan your child's life for them, but God has already done that. God has already designed that plan. But you as a mother, it's your job to understand your role in what God's plan is as it unfolds. In our text for this morning, we see a mother by the name of Jochebed who understood her role as a mother. She understands that God has a plan that not only would save her son, but it would make it possible that the children of Israel who had been down in Egyptian bondage some 400 years, that it would be through Moses, her child, her son, would become the emancipator, the liberator of God's Hebrew people that had been under the labor occupation of the Egyptians. Mothers, this morning, God has a plan for your child's life, and it's important that mothers understand that plan. So today, let me give you three aspects of a mother's role in God's plan today. Number one, protect your children the best that you can. Protect your children the best that you can. Here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, where we read, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi." It's interesting, they're from the house of Levi. This would be the tribe from which the priest would arise for the nation of Israel. It's interesting here that Moses doesn't mention his parents' name, but he later will do that in chapter 6, and we find that his father's name was Amram and his mother's name was Jochebed. These two people, Amram and Jochebed, they met each other. Young people, they fell in love. They got married and they had a baby. Now, this birth, from a worldly perspective, could not have come at a more worse time. Of course, looking at it from godly perspective, it was perfect timing in every sense of the way. You see, the Israelites, they've been down in Egypt. They've been great taskmasters for the pharaohs of Egypt. How did they ever get down in Egypt to begin with? They were invited down there by Jacob's youngest son, Joseph. And the Israelites multiplied, they prospered down in Egypt so much that when a new king, a new pharaoh came to power, came to the throne, he was alarmed by seeing the great exponential multiplication of the Hebrew people. And so Exodus chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 tells us that this Pharaoh, he was afraid that the Israelites would become more in number and that they would become more powerful and that they would eventually come against the Egyptians. And so there rose a king one day, a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And so he appointed these Egyptians to be these hard taskmasters. They would be in the labor camps of building the cities for the Egyptians. And then eventually he would come to the Hebrew women who were midwives, and he would say to the midwives of the Hebrew women, chapter 1, verse 16, and he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it's a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Notice in verse 17, it says, but the midwives feared God. They did not abide by the Pharaoh's command. They did not kill the Hebrew boys. And so because these midwives refused to carry out the king's command, he introduces another solution. He made a decree that any male child that was born would be taken and thrown into the Nile River. Now, young people, if you know anything about your geography, if you know anything about the Nile River, you know the Nile River is infested with crocodiles. And so Moses is born at such a time like this, in a culture, in a society where it was not safe. And Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us that Moses' mother, so the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. What this means, young people, is that Moses was a beautiful, handsome little baby boy. After all, most mothers think their children are the most beautiful thing ever, right? Moms, you think your babies are beautiful? You think your children are beautiful? Obviously, they are, and surely that you do. In the book of Acts chapter 7, we see here, at this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. Let me tell you, God had a plan for this child. And let me tell you this morning, in America, God has a plan for every child that is conceived. Amen? Let me tell you, God has a plan for every child. I could not help but think, what if Jochebed, what if she had been a mother today? Would she have chosen to abort Moses? Would she have chosen to abort the plan of Almighty God that Moses would be the one that God would choose to liberate the Egyptian people? And when I think about in America that 65 million babies have been aborted in America, can you only imagine how many of those might be scientists? How many of those might be the ones that would discover the cure to cancer, the cure to Alzheimer's, the cure to Parkinson's, the cure to Huntington's, the cure to diabetes, the cure to so many of the health issues that we face today? If you can only imagine, among 65 million babies that have been aborted in America. On the way to church this morning, I was listening to one of the newscasts, They were giving three people on there testimonials of their lives that their mother wanted to abort them and was in the process of the abortion. But these three people giving testimonies this morning, they lived through that aborted operation, and they were giving their testimonies of what it meant to be alive, and that they were out there proclaiming the importance of being pro-life. Let me tell you, Moses' mother brought him up in a time when things were tragic. They were hard to deal with. It was not an easy job because the king was looking to rid of all of these Hebrew baby boys. And Moses' mother's job was to protect her child from the perverse society in which he was born. And the Bible says that Moses' mother, Jochebed, she hid him for 3 months. She went against the command of the Pharaoh. Moses' mother was putting her life in danger. She was putting her life on the line, but she wanted to be the protector of her child. Moms, I would ask you a question this morning. Are you protecting your children as much as you possibly know how? With all of the things they're challenged with this morning, of all of the things these kids are growing up in today, it is so unlike the generations of before. Let me tell you, these kids are growing up in tough, tough times. Mom, are you doing everything that you know to do to protect your children? I read just this past week on the Denison Forum, it was an article. It said, why are teens sadder, lonelier, and more depressed than ever before? And then the writer of this article gave 4 reasons for increasing persistent sadness. One is social media and the smartphone use. Secondly is that social skills are down, social interaction. A third thing is the world is stressful. And there's more news about the world's stresses than there are about positive things. And then a fourth thing this article talked about is modern parenting and the rat race out there and accommodation parenting and parental neglect in the digital age. I would ask moms a question this morning. Moms, are you doing everything that you know to do to try to protect your child? I heard just this past week where pedophiles now are using social media. It used to be they'd drive down the road and try to pick up a child. Now they're doing it through social media and through all kinds of internet accesses that they have. Let me tell you, God has given mothers a special, powerful, innate passion to care for their children. And that's what Jochebed was trying to do. But as necessary as this God-given passion is, let me tell you, a lot of times a mom's protectiveness is limited, such as, moms, let me ask you a question. Do you watch the things you do? Do you watch the things that you say? Just remember that children are impressionable. Just remember that children are creatures of imitation. Children imitate what they see. They love their moms. They love their dads. And they become imitators of what you say. They become imitators of what you do. Does your child take on many of your bad habits? Does your child take on many of the fears that you have? Do you instill within that child the love of Jesus and that Jesus loves you? Jesus created you. Mom, what are you teaching your children about respect and about responsibility and about resources? Are you always bailing them out of situations and out of trouble? What does that teach them about responsibility? Is it really bringing more harm to them than it's bringing good? You see, sometimes we have to fall down, don't we? Sometimes we have to skin our knees in life, don't we? Let me tell you, moms, your job in God's plan is to raise that child by protecting them as best you know how, and teaching them what is right and wrong. And Moses' mother, in the world that she was living in, did the best she knew how to do to bring Moses up, to protect him from the harm and the danger that was out there. Secondly, moms, this morning, another aspect of a mother's role, not only to protect your child the best you can, but do you do all you can with the resources that are at your disposal. Do all you can. Notice that Moses' mother, she wanted to protect her child, and so she goes out and she makes this little wicker basket and she covers it with what she had. It was not much, but it was something that was prolific because it was used in the making of the houses. There was tar and slime and pitch and clay and all of these things. And she used it and she waterproofed it. Let me tell you, she wanted to do the best she could. She had to come up with a creative plan in order to protect this child, for she knew that God had a reason and a purpose. You know, we could have said, well, why on earth didn't she put him in a little boat? Why didn't she make a little canoe out there some way? Well, let me tell you why she did what she did. She used the resources that she had. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 31 that speaks about the godly wife and the godly mother and how resourceful she is for a household and how she uses her hands willingly. And she plants a vineyard, a garden, and she works willingly with her hands. She makes her family clothing. If you can only imagine the fear that must have gripped Moses' mother's heart when she realized, if I'm going to save my child from this monster Pharaoh, then I've got to do something to protect my child. And she makes this little wicker basket, and then she takes him down to the Nile River, hoping and praying that someone will discover him and that they will have compassion on him. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that God uses the simple things in life to confound those that are wise. God used Moses and his staff one day to set the people free and depart the Red Sea. Let me tell you, God used David in a slingshot one day to slay a giant that was cursing and defying the God of David. God used Gideon's 300 men and clay jars to defeat thousands of enemy soldiers. God used a young boy one day out on a hillside with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. Moms, this morning, in raising your children, I realize there's lots of trepidation, there's lots of fear that comes, and fear comes in 2 forms. Number one, it comes with apprehension of responsibility. Once I get this child here, can I be responsible for this child? You may struggle with questions like, do I have, as a mother, what it takes to raise this child? Am I capable of leading this child in faith to believe about Jesus? Can I raise my child to be wise, to be a contributing member of society? When I was listening this week on the television, and they were telling about the various reasons for those that are for abortion and those that are against abortion, and they were giving some of the reasons about the abortion issue out there, that some young women, they don't feel like they can be responsible. Moses' mother realized that she could do what she had to do. In fact, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Moms, God has given you everything that you need to raise your children if you will trust in Him and in His Word. Not only does fear come from this apprehension of, I don't know that I can be responsible, but fear also comes from regret. Fear comes from regret. Moms are notorious for beating themselves up with regret. Moms, this morning, do you have any regrets? Do you have any wishes? I wish I would have. I wish I had. I should have. Unfortunately, when children are born, they don't come with directions. They don't send your baby home from the hospital with a list of instructions. And you're left out there floundering around in the sea of life of trying to how to raise these children as best I can. And some parents, some become too overprotective. You know, one of the things I've missed in life is to not have kids. Now, at the end of the day, it's kind of fun to go home and close your door. I mean, you can love everybody else's kids, right? But let me tell you, but I can also say this beyond, I have missed that. I have missed that, but I can say this honestly. I would not have been a good parent. And you know how I know I would not have been a good parent? I'm too overprotective. And let me tell you, sometimes you have to let your kids get a scrape. Sometimes you have to let them fall off the bicycle. I don't know what it would be today, young people. You can educate me on that. But in my day, it was bicycles and tricycles and you know, those type of things. I wouldn't have been that great parent. I would have been too overprotective. And so sometimes we have to allow them some freedoms, hoping that we have taught them and brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want you to know, do all you can. Do all you can to protect your child the best you can. Secondly, do all you can with the resources that you have. A lot of parents today, a lot of mothers today are a single parent family. Let me tell you, they don't have a lot of resources. Moms, you have to some way along the way be creative. You have to some way make the money stretch. Sometimes you just have to do whatever you have to do. Any of you growing up, any of y'all ever remember the days and, oh, your mom made, you know, whatever she made, put on the table? And, oh, she had a great lemon pie or chocolate pie or coconut pie. I've already lost y'all. Have you ever seen your mother when the pieces of pie were passed out and there wasn't one left for her? And she goes, I didn't want any. I don't need any. Moms, any of y'all ever done that? That's a mother's love. Do all you can with the resources that you have. And third and lastly, let God be the object of your faith. Trust Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Let me tell you, a mom who trusts in the Lord and trusts her child to the Lord, let me tell you, there will be a peace that passes all human understanding. Thomas Edison said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I could never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly, but her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness, her potent powers to keep me in the right path, my mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Moms, this morning, protect your children the best you can. Secondly, do all you can with the resources that you have. And thirdly, let God be the object of your faith and trust in Him with all of your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let me close today with this Mother's Day poem, as the portrait is unconscious of the master's artist touch. Unaware of growing beauty, unaware of changing much. So you've not guessed his working in your life throughout each year. Have not seen the growing beauty, have not sensed it, Mother dear. We've seen and marveled greatly at the master artist's skill. Marveled at the lovely picture daily growing lovelier still. Watched his brushstrokes change each feature to a likeness of his face. Till in you we see the master, feel his presence, glimpse his grace. Pray the fragrance of his presence may through you seem doubly sweet till your years on earth are ended and the portrait is complete. Moms, today, this is your day. It's a special day. But Mother's Day should not just be one day a year. Mother's Day should be every single day of the year. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we come this morning to the end of this service, thank you for this wonderful Old Testament mother who did the best she could and left the rest into the loving hands of an awesome God. Of this story this morning, God's sovereign control, God's divine providence was at work in the little wicker basket with the midwives, with the baby being discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, and she had compassion when Moses wept. And then for Moses' sister Miriam to be standing by to keep watch, to give her mother reports, and then for her to intercede and ask Pharaoh's daughter if she needed a Hebrew mother to care for that child. And Pharaoh's daughter told her to find one, and Miriam goes back to Moses' mother, and she's blessed to get to raise him, to receive wages from Pharaoh's daughter until he's up to the place that he is schooled. But he never forgot his roots, because God was divinely and sovereignly working behind the scenes to orchestrate, to move the pawns on the chessboard of life, to bring about a liberator for his people. Moses would grow up to be the one to lead the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, some 2 million of them, across the Red Sea toward the promised land. Oh God, what a plan you have for every child conceived. God, I pray for the mothers all over the world this morning, struggling, trying to tie a knot and hang on as best they know how. Oh God, help them, I pray. Encourage them, I pray. Help them, oh God, to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And Father, bless moms today everywhere. God, I pray for these children and these youth and all of us, that we would always remember the importance of our mothers. And the footprints that they have left and influence upon our lives. Oh God, may we never forget that. May we forever be appreciative and grateful and thankful and tell them so if we still have them here. Father God, we've told the story this morning, Holy Spirit of the living God. It's up to you to move in the heart and lives of people. If there's someone here today that needs to make a decision for you, may they come, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. As we sing together, if you need to come this morning, would you come?